The Shire of Nanup would like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri and Boonwurrung people of the Noongar Nation as the traditional custodians of the land of which this podcast is recorded on, and we extend our respect to the elders past and present, and we extend that respect to all Aboriginal Australians living within the Shire of Nanup.
Well, I was in the first ambulance. I was following the lead group. Turned down towards Donnelly River Village, and we went around the corner, and there was 15 of them spread all over the road. Did a quick triage. I said, you help those guys. And there was a guy over in the bush who was a long way off the road. The bike rider guy called up again, said, do you need anything? And I had to look around, and I said, I need two more ambulances and a helicopter. And he sort of, you're joking. I said, that's what I want.
This is the Nanup Oral History Podcast. The following conversation with Warren Smith contains information linked to first responders. If you feel like that is something you can't engage with right now, we encourage you to skip, but please come back. It's such an interesting and educational conversation where Warren talks about how he came to live in Nanup after initially questioning why anyone would live here, to then building a weekender to finally moving here. It also details his extensive knowledge of and involvement with the St. John Ambulance. Good morning, Warren. Thanks for coming to talk to us. Tell us about your connection to Nanup.
Well, Warren Smith, and I've been roughly 20 years in Nanup.
Wonderful. And can you tell us about your life pre-Nanup and what brought you here?
How much time have we got? came from Sydney, lived up in the Blue Mountains. Yvonne's brother and sister were in Perth, and we moved over here. And then after a few road trips, once we came down to Nanup the very first time, and it was in the middle of summer, it was about 45 degrees, and when we approached Nanup, it was just a little narrow red road, and we got into Nanup, and I thought, who the hell would live here? And here I am.
What was it that made you stay?
Well, then after a while, Yvonne and myself used to go on road trips with the kids, long weekends, and we'd stay at all the different towns heading down the southwest, and just to look for a weekender to build and maybe not necessarily retire to, but just to come to. And eventually we worked our way down to Nanup, and there was one vacant block in Cockatoo Valley. And so we decided on that one. And so then I built a weekender there. They didn't have a name for a weekender. Anything you built couldn't be a weekender. So anyway, we stayed there for about 9 years to and from, every second or third week building and then just coming down. And got to know everybody and, a lot of people. And, yeah, that's how we came to be here. After the 9 years, we decided we'd sell and move across the road to where I am now. And I built the house there, and we've been there for 10 years.
So you moved from the Blue Mountains to Perth and then Perth to Nanup. But in that 9 years, you were holidaying here.
Yeah, we'd come down for long weekends. Yeah, I was a contract builder doing all different sorts of things it was just good to get away and retire down here. Excellent.
Yeah. When you talk about the road in, can you tell us a little bit more about that journey? Because now, obviously, we've got this beautiful bitumen road and it's easy to get to Perth.
Well, I think the road has changed alignment from when we came in. I think as you go out towards Busselton, it says the old Vass Highway. So I think that's the road I came in on. But about one car wide, you'd have to go off the dirt to let someone pass. And it was red bitumen. I don't know whether it was cheaper to have red bitumen than black or whatever. But anyway, when we got in here, it was 45 degrees and it was terrible. And I thought, who would live here? And then we sort of moved on. But then we came back. We must have come back in the winter and had a different feel. So after a long period of time, this is where we ended up. Yeah.
So it's Yvonne, your wife, and yourself and children?
Four children, yeah.
And when you came to Nanup holidaying, what did you do here?
Most of the time I was building. Kids just had free run at the place. They'd go walk up through the bush, chase kangaroos and all that. So it was just a relaxing. We'd come down Friday afternoon after work, and being a contract builder, I just gave myself a Monday off every now and again, and we'd stay till Monday, go into town for coffee, get to work out where the best coffee shop is and all that sort of thing. So,
What were the coffee shops and businesses like then?
There's always been the Blackwood, and then there was my favourites, Nicky's Coffee, Piccolo No. But it was owned by, or it was run by Lucy Cole way back then, and then Nicky took over. So, then there was a pub. A few times we came down before I finished building the place, if we weren't tenting on the block, we stayed at the pub, and that was an experience. And I think it still is.
I didn't know that Lucy Cole had Piccolo No. Was that when you first arrived to town?
I think it was. It was still owned by the Taste of Nanup, and Piccolo No was together. So Lucy, I think, just managed it. And then Nikki took over from her, yeah.
So tell us about your journey of moving from being a weekender in Nanup to deciding to move here.
Well, I liked the place. Apart from coming down and actually doing the building of the weekender, which is, the weekender is a bit bigger than some of the houses in Nanup, but it was a weekender, and so I was coming backwards and forwards all the time to do that. After a while, we realised that the coming and going all the time wasn't going to suit, and I wanted to get out of Perth. I had enough of Perth. It was nice when we got there, and we used to have to line up on half days on the weekend to get petrol. That's how many cars were around. So decided to move down here. So we got a good price for the house where we were in Perth, and came down and decided to, on the opposite side of the highway from us, it was owned by a man who used to make jam. And so I got to know him prior to wanting to get that block. And we met, he had a little store in town where he used to sell his jam. But in talking to him one day, he wasn't always able to get his jam up to Perth. So Yvonne and I said to him, well, whenever we go back, we can bootleg your jam up to Fremantle. So he'd load us up with a few boxes of jam and we'd take them up to Fremantle on our way back to Perth. And then we had an eye on this block that was up for sale. And we used to go over there at dusk when nobody was around, and there was already an existing pad there. So we used to sit there as the sun went down and the sheep were all around the place, and it was a nice, it's on a hill. I always like to build on a hill. You never build in the valley. And we just thought this would be a great spot. And so we set out to buy it and build.
And did your children come with you? Did any children come with you, or was it you and...?
No, they're still in Perth. They come down now and again because when they're working and kids are at school. So the kids usually come down, and I usually make a big bonfire during the year, and then they come down for school holidays and light it up and have a good time. And so it's a good place for now other people, friends and that come past, and managers from the bike events and all that sort of thing, they stay at the, we've got a little condo. We had to turn a little shed into a dwelling. That was the condition of the shop before we could start to build. So I did that. And then Yvonne referred to it as the condo. And
it's a beautiful part of the world where you are.
It's nice. And strangely enough, when I went into, because in starting to work out the plans for the house, which a friend of mine from Chittering up in the other side of Perth designed for me, I was worried about what I had to do for bushfire regulations. So I went in and saw Jane, who's still there and at the Shire, and she produced a map which was like a big semicircle, and my place wasn't in the bushfire zone. I said, yes. And so I could just build the way I wanted to. And I think it's still, well, they won't change it, but, yeah, we weren't in the bushfire zone where it was going to cost us a lot more to build and for insurance.
Would you mind sharing from a building perspective that concept of bushfire regulations and how that affects building? Because I know a lot of people don't, and that affects a lot of houses in Nanup.
It affects what sort of roof you might put on. You can't just put a normal fly screen on. They've got to be fire-resistant fly screens. And there's just so many different things that you need to do so that it minimises the fire effect on your house. Building materials. And it can be very costly. It's very costly when the window structures and all that sort of thing. So you can't always build what you want when you're in a bushfire zone.
Well, I guess now we're touching on natural disasters a little bit. I would like to segue into your very extensive time with St. John Ambulance. And can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved in St. John Ambulance?
I've always been interested in first aid. My father was an ambulance officer in Sydney. He's a decorated officer. Then I had two uncles, one in Lismore, which is under flood at the moment, and another one up in North New South Wales. And they were both decorated ambulance officers, and they managed the stations where they were. And I didn't have intention of joining any particular thing. Once I got the house, the weekend I built in Nanup, I joined the bushfire brigade in Nanup Brook. And then after a couple of years of that, because I'm getting very old, getting in and out of the truck and dragging hoses up those. Well, the last one I did was a New Year's Eve fire going up along the Bridgetown Hill and dragging hoses up and down that hill. I thought, this is not for me. I'm too old for it. So I quit that. And then Yvonne and I were driving to, I think it was Bridgetown. And as we were going along there, a group of kids come racing out of the bush on this dirt road in the car and pulled us over. So I was a bit dubious, but I pulled over. And they said the person that they were travelling with, another car, they hit a tree quite a few k's in and wanted me to go to Bridgetown to get the ambulance. I can't remember what the situation was with the phone. And I said, do you know anything about first aid? And they said, no. I said, well, you go to Bridgetown, I'll go in. So I went in and the car was wrapped around a tree and they were injured. So anyway, I was able to sort that out. And once I got that done, well, then I could hear the ambulance coming down the road and was sitting right on top of this car because the little French car was showing the ambulance where to go. So we got all that sorted out. Apparently they'd organised a chopper. So as soon as the guy got there and saw that I'd sort of fixed the place up, they called the chopper off. And then later on I saw an ad in the Telegraph about wanting new volunteers for the first aid for St John Ambulance. And I thought, oh, I could do that. Ross Croft was the chairperson at the time. So I went and had a chat with him and Ross taught me a lot. And after a while, he, as being chairperson, he retired. And so I was on the committee, so I took over and I've been chairperson for about 8 years now.
Can you tell us what is involved in being in the St John Ambulance in Nanup?
The willingness to help people in need. People might be very distressed naturally, no matter what the situation is, but you sort of see a sense of relief when they see someone come in with a green uniform. And some weeks you have very little to do, and in other weeks, just like in this last week's, we've done 5 heart attacks, a home birth, 5-year-old snake bite, and so it'll come in waves. But you've just been able to help people and know that, well, our aim is that we get them to the hospital alive. And jokingly, after that, it's not our concern.
But, so you're talking about the Nanup Hospital?
Yeah, that's a great little hospital. Yeah, considering what they have to put up with and the limited not so much staff, but the limited facilities they have, because everything has to be transferred out. But from what they get, it's they do a great job.
Are there ever any times you go to Busselton as well, or to Manjimup or Bridgetown?
If we were closer, if there was an accident that we went to and it was closer to Bridgetown or it was closer to Busselton, if we were on the crew, we would probably go there first, knowing that Nanup can't do x-rays and that sort of thing. But normally we take them to Nanup Hospital, and then they have now the telehealth doctor comes up on the screen. That's good, you know, you can look down there and I'll turn the patient over or this or that. And so then he determines where they will go, whether it's used. Most of the time it's to Bunbury, but quite often we go to Busselton as well. And we do a lot of transfers in and out.
Are you on call all the time?
Yes.
All of you?
Yeah, we are. There's 12 of us at the moment that are so-called on road. We need more. Yeah, I'd like to have another six at least. We had a man that came in the other day, and what usually brings it on is somebody is in trouble. So just say they're in trouble, or a family member's in trouble, and the ambulance turns up and helps them out. Then they sort of feel as though maybe I'd like to do that to help other people. So that's probably quite often a motive for people. But with that 12 work, and or they might be away. So on a busy weekend like last weekend, there were only four of us available. We had a crew come down from Collie and a standby crew from Bridgetown in case we needed them.
When you say busy event, was that a busy weekend? Was that because of the Seven event?
Yeah, the Seven event, or we've got the rally next weekend, or no matter what it is, you get a lot of people into town and it just ups you, whether it's an old lady coming out of the bakery and tripping over the step, or some of them I call frequent flyers, and it's just a bit of a joke. But, and people know that they need you quite often for various health conditions. And so I like to sort of just not so much make light of it with them, but you just ease them off a little bit by a little bit of a joke. When you know them, you can't do that to someone you don't know. But that's the thing with Nanup, is that a lot of people you know, and that puts an expectation, or they have an expectation. I came across that just recently, and we went to some place and the person said, "Oh, I'm glad it's you." And I'm thinking, well, the person that I'm with is more qualified, but because he knows me, there's an expectation. And that at times weighs heavily on you, because you think, well, I hope I can meet his expectations. And normally we can. Sometimes it's too late when you get there anyway. And in the time that I've been here, I think I've attended 10 deaths. So that's sort of... I know the man that was chairperson before Ross, he quit because he knew too many people that he couldn't help, and that sort of weighed on him a bit. But I sort of think, well, if you did the same thing, well, then you're not there to help the next person. So that's the way it goes.
How do you find that? How do you cope with those sorts of experiences?
Oh, well, we chat to each other. Yeah, there was a death recently in town that, and four of us were there, and we couldn't do anything else. I think, well, I can't say, but we couldn't do any more when we got there than what had already been attempted. And the thing is, it's not like there are ambulances roaming the street all the time like in Perth. See, if I get a call, when I'm riding my lawnmower, I put my phone on the steering wheel with an electric tie, and so if it rings, I can see it. Well, if you get an urgent call, I've got to get off the mower, run up to the house, get changed, come into the station, get the van out, and then wait for my partner, or they might be waiting for me, and then we go. And then we might have to go 20 k's out of town. So the response time in the country is not, and people think, oh, you might have taken a long time to get there, but hang on, I wasn't sitting in the station waiting to go. So that's something we can't do anything about. You live in the country, that's the way it is.
Because there's no career?
No, it's not a, it's just a volunteer station. It's not a, now, for instance, like Busselton now is a hybrid station. They have paid paramedics and volunteers. Well, we're just all volunteers. And, yeah, we're on call anytime, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever.
I find that extraordinary.
Well, we're not doing it every day, but over the last 2 weeks we have been quite busy, yeah.
I know we segued into this with natural disaster because in my mind you go to natural, well, you go to bushfires.
We only go to bushfires as a first aid station. So, well, they'll call us up and, yeah, we travel anywhere for that. And we just, they post us out of danger somewhere and then they bring the patient to us if there's a burn or there's something in their eye or something like that. So, yeah.
And then you obviously support for a lot of events and you're at events. Can you tell us about that as well?
Well, the tour of Margaret River, we usually have 3 or 4 vans and we follow the riders in groups. Oh, well, I was only in it quite early when it was about 4, maybe 5 years ago. We were following the, I was in the first ambulance. I was following the lead group, the elite guys. And they can really motor along. And as we're going up the Bridgetown Hill, the two of the guys at the back of that group bumped each other and came off. So we stopped, patched up their arms and legs, and then one of the commissary guys with the yellow shirt on the motorbikes came past. He said, can I help? I said, yeah, I need to get back to the first group because the other ambulances are behind the other groups. And it took us 17 kilometres to catch them. And so he's riding and bip, bip, and they move over a little bit and we finally caught up. And then we turned down towards Donnelly River Village, and my partner, who was from Augusta at the time, she said, they're getting away from you. I said, we're doing 70 kilometres an hour. I'm not getting any closer than where we are now. And we went down the hill around the corner. And we went around the corner and there was 15 of them spread all over the road. And I thought, this is why I wasn't getting too close. And so we stopped there, did a quick triage. I said, you'd help those guys. And there was a guy over in the bush who was a long way off the road. I said, I'll go over there. So we sorted them out over a period of time. But the bike rider guy called up again, said, do you need anything? And I had to look around. And I said, I need 2 more ambulances and a helicopter. And he sort of, you're joking. I said, that's what I want. And I heard the 2 ambulances come from Bridgetown. The helicopter came over. But we had to park about 7 km up the road because we're in the middle of the forest and there was nowhere to land. So, yeah, those. And we do all sorts of events. We don't necessarily travel with them all the time. But there's a lot of bike events in Nanup. It's out on Spur Road. There's Warp out near Kirrup. And so there's lots of events to keep us busy. So we always know, especially when there's bikes, and now that Tank 7's there. And then we've got the World Championship coming up next year. We're going to be busy. Talking back to the tour of Margaret River sometime, we had a man that collapsed and he was a local. And he had to be brought back to life. He came back as an AMBO because we saved his life. So he just does what he can, but he does a good job for what he does. It's, so I think that's, yeah. And some people now and again get a sense of, oh, maybe I'd like to help. Other people try it but can't do it. I don't know why you would be... consider being an ambulance officer if you don't like blood. But a lot of jobs don't include blood. It's, you know, it might be somebody's blood pressure or their diabetes or none of that involves blood. It's, but some are catastrophic. so it just depends. But yeah, we could always use more. We never knock back more. And it lightens the load on the rest of them.
And also you're at events like Family Fun Day and the Music Club, Music Festival.
Yeah, we just donate. We donate our time for town events. You know, we don't charge to go to Family Fun Day. We just put the van down there and you get the odd thing, a bee sting, or someone fell over and scratched their knee. But it's just they like it being there and we don't mind going. Yeah, just helps the community.
Yes, so there's a huge range of events that you go to.
There is, yeah.
And then, of course, you're talking about all the things like heart attacks and home births and things. So there's a lot of different experiences.
Yeah.
I guess road fatality here is a huge one as well, or road accidents, I should say.
Surprisingly not. I don't know why that is. Maybe they've slowed down by the time they get to the Shire of Nanup. There's been a few. I did one very early in the morning and we couldn't do anything. But we don't have a lot of – there's the odd one, but not as many. Because Nanup – I think over 65% of Nanup residents are over 65. And so that's where you get a fair bit of the – not the action, you get a fair bit of the work, the response for people that are struggling for various things, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. There's sometimes I've been on the road and I think, oh gosh, someone's taken over, overtaking on a blind corner or going incredibly fast. And I think, oh, how many accidents happen? But it's good to hear that there's not too many. I know you're also involved with the local emergency management committee. So how does the St. John Ambulance connect to all the other emergency management sectors, I guess, within the Shire?
Well, about every 2 months we do they call it LEMC, L-E-M-C, up at the SES building. We have them now. And all the heads of various departments all meet there and we just talk about what they're doing or what's required. And so that way we stay in touch so that we learn how to work together. We do a lot of training with the SES, especially for Tank 7. They've got this stretcher, it's called a mule, and it's like a basket that you see lifted up by the helicopters. But it's got a massive big wheel underneath it in the middle. So we can put our gear on there, we can put the patient on. They help us get down to the bottom of the gully, wherever it is, and then they wheel them out and we put them in the ambulance. So for accessing the patient and extraction, it's a fantastic service and we work well together. And then, of course, if it's something on the road, well, then DFES, the local fire brigade, they also assist.
It's amazing. So do you do a lot of training as part of the volunteering?
Yeah. When you first start, there's three different grades, but when you first start, you go and spend a couple of weekends at St. John headquarters, like either Busselton or I went to Bunbury when I first started. And so you do your basic training there and then we train the first and the third Tuesday of every night. And there's a whole lot of modules you have to do by the end of the year to qualify for the next year. But then once you've finished that, well, then in January you start again and you do the whole thing again. But there's always changing. St. John's love to change everything. It might only be minor, but you're supposed to know it, you know. So there's different categories and there's some things that, well, I can do most things, but my categorisation doesn't allow me to administer medication. I know what to give. I know how to give it. But because I'm not qualified in that respect, because I'm not the next grade up, Ross Croft always tried to get me to go to the next one. I said, look, Ross, you can see I'm too old. I'm happy to be where I am. But your attendant will say, oh, can you get me this, that, give them that. So there are some restrictions in that way. I remember one lady I went to, she was in a bad way with diabetes and there were two of us the same grade as myself. And so I had to ring comms, put my phone on speaker, tell them what the situation was, what the observations were. And then they said, what do you want to do? I said, I want to do this. He says, yes, okay, you can do it. So you have to get permission from the next rung up in order to give administration. Not that we don't know what to do, there's just a line in the sand where you can administer and when you can't.
Are there some people in Nanup that are volunteers at that tier that can give medicine?
Oh, yeah. Well, just in Nanup itself, there's four. But not necessarily, like I say, if there's only two of my level, well, then we can still go and do the job. But we phone up to get permission to do what we need to do.
And you're phoning a headquarter, is it?
Yeah, from SOC up in Perth with the 000.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So you talked a little bit about the process of what happens when you get a call. When you get a call, it's dispatched from Perth, and that's when you go to the station.
Yeah, we go to the job then.
Okay. And there has to be two of you.
Yes. I've had experience twice where I've been the only one in town and they wouldn't let me go. And I'm thinking, well, you know, if the ambulance is going to come from Bridgetown, I sat on my back veranda one day and I heard a car come from Bridgetown, like I hear it. I'm thinking, you know, could have I done something while they were, you know, maybe someone was choking. I didn't know what the case was, but maybe you could do something. But that's the rule. You can't go by yourself. But there's a way around it, where if you can get onto St John's First Responder app, and if you've got a certain qualification, well, then if there's some sort of accident or something, heart attack or whatever, within about half a kilometre of you or a kilometre, I'll get a ring on the phone. Then I can go, but I'm not going in the green uniform. I'm just going as a personal, as a resident. So, and through that, we've been able to get all the AEDs that are around town. There's about 16 in Nana that we've got.
Yes, so the AEDs, and for anyone listening, that stands for Automated External Defibrillator, which, as far as I'm aware, is a device used to revive someone from sudden cardiac arrest. Can you tell us a bit more about them and their locations?
Different places where you get groups of people meeting together. They really should have an AED. It's a lot quicker if you know how. And now and again we get asked to go and demonstrate how to use it. They say, oh, well, they're okay because they tell you what to do when you open it up. But what you need to know before you open it up is can save the life, not just matter of opening it up and putting the pads on. So, we've got quite a few. They're all around the town and we've got them now at all the bushfire brigades as well, not only in their truck, but we've got one on the outside of their station so that the local residents for that particular area can have access to it if they need it.
I was going to ask that because the Shire is so vast and there's so much forest. So Scott River has some.
Scott River's got one. Carlotta, North Nanup, all the fire stations have got one around, yeah. Technically it's not a heart starter, but you can sort of lose consciousness because your heart is beating so fast and it's not doing what it's supposed to do. Where the defibrillator, when it shocks you, it punches the heart back into its regular rhythm and you will come back to life. So that's the main idea of it, yeah.
Wow. I know you've been, I don't know how to say it, integral to the non-urgent patient transfer vehicle as well. Can you tell us a little bit? I know it's a different hat, but can you tell us a little bit about that as well?
I always known about St John's patient transfer. And then I was down at my sister-in-law's in Denmark. And I went and I just went and said hello and I saw they had their car there. And so I asked them about it and, all the local people use that, but it's very expensive. And just to go from Denmark to Albany, it's only 50 Ks, but it was far too expensive. And a lot of the pensioners in town would not use it.
This is the Shire car? A Shire car?
No, that's a St John Ambulance car.
Oh, St John Ambulance car. So, yeah. Okay, yep, sorry.
So I came back to the Shire and I had a good chat with Ross and Liz Collins, who's a local RN. And so he said about speaking to the Shire about developing our own community transport car. And so it took over 12 months. They had to get the budget for it, and that's all understandable. But finally, we got it, and it only costs, if you have to go to Busselton, it costs you $15. And and they're volunteer drivers as well. And if you need to go to Bunbury, it only costs you $30. It costs you heaps more in the St John car. So, it's well used. It's really good.
I know before that you were saying that friends and family were sort of using their own vehicles,
yes,
to drive people.
Yeah, and it's an impost on them. Well, by using this car, it's sponsored by the Shire. You're not using up your friendship with other people, because some of them are regular, and you're not using the person's vehicle, and then you're obliged to, whether you pay for the fuel or they or whatever, you know. So this way it's nice and clean. You ring the Shire, they send us an email. At the moment, we've only got 4 or 5 drivers. So, yeah, we can always use some more, and that'll just spread it around a bit more.
And you've got all the right equipment in the boot as well, don't you?
Well, yeah, St John Ambulance just donated, because you never know who you're going to carry and you never know what's going to happen. So, yes, Nanup Ambulance donated an AED and a decent first aid kit to just put in the boot. Hopefully it never gets used, but it's there if somebody needs it, yeah.
I have an idea of why you continue to turn out for St John, but as a volunteer, what is it that keeps you just getting that green uniform on and going to the jobs?
Just to help people. You see the person in need, and if you can just relieve the pain or relieve the situation or get them into better care, I think that's why we all do it. Yeah.
Is there anything that you would like to talk about that we haven't spoken about yet?
On a personal note, I'm moving to, and I've actually got a meeting with the Rick Wilson today. I'm trying to get some sort of adjustment to Nanup Hospital so we can look after dementia patients. Because my wife's been down that road, and they can't look after it because they haven't got the facilities. So I'm just trying to get you always got to go to the top, never go through the gatekeepers, you never get anywhere. And so I've got a meeting with him today with a few other people in town, and just to see whether WAX can make some sort of extension to Nanup Hospital. Because I'm aware of 10 to 12 dementia patients in Nanup, and that'll only slowly get worse. And so if we can look after them in Nanup instead of another reason why people have to leave town and their families, well, that's my current mission.
Yeah. You're a big driver with your missions. I know it. This is a big passion of yours, getting better care for seniors, particularly with dementia in Nanup, isn't it? I know you say it's another reason why people leave. Is it a consideration for you that you would have to leave Nanup?
Well, I made a tough decision, but I moved Yvonne up to Perth because she's close to the 4 kids and the grandkids and her other relations up there. So I'll go up there every 2 to 3 weeks and see her for a few days, and then I'll come back. But she gets contact up there all the time with the rest of the family. And, The other thing, but is, I'll be dead before the shovel gets in the ground. Is, I did write a big article in the Telegraph some time ago about retirement village. We don't have one in there, and it's another reason why people have to leave town, because they have to go to Busselton or whatever. You come into Nanup, you bring your money in, you build or whatever you do here, provide jobs, you volunteer. And at the end of the day, you have to leave. You've got to sell up and invest in another town because there's nowhere to stay when you reach that situation. So that's a very slow process, and I'll probably never see it in my lifetime, but it needs to happen.
This is a personal thing, but I remember how beautiful Yvonne's artwork was for a very long time. When I first moved to Nanup, I'd see it everywhere. Did she paint a lot about Nanup?
Yeah, she started out... when she came down here, she used to do tiny art. It was only a tiny little block on one of those tiny little easels. But she painted all the different things around town, and she sold over 60 of those. Yeah, they only, she put them in the Tastes of Nanup, and they only lasted. She sold a lot of them, and she had three major exhibitions, solo exhibitions, down in the old garage gallery, where the brewery is at the moment, and then recently they did one in honour of her, for what she's done.
How beautiful! Her artwork's exquisite. Well, I want to say a huge thank you for your ongoing service and for your contributions to NANUP.
It's all right. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
I just couldn't do what you do. It's so amazing. You've been listening to the NANUP Oral History Podcast. If you are not a NANUPian, please come and visit our small town. We would love you to come. If you are a NANUPian, please share it with your family and friends. We're really proud of this, and we hope you are too.
This podcast was made possible through the successful funding by the Department of Community's Age Friendly Community Program, facilitated through the local government's professionals and supported by the Shire of NANUP. We would like to thank all of those who have shared their stories to make this podcast happen. The podcast has been produced by the Shire of NANUP's Economic and Community Development Team and edited by Simple Ben Stories.